Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, the 28th of January. Coming up today, there's good news for local groups campaigning against wood burners, calls for cats to be given the same rights as dogs if they're hit by a car, and we're being reminded the push to bring back the Gravesend-Tilbury ferry service is still on for 2026. Stay listening to hear all of that coming up in just a little bit. But first, our top story today has been the most read on the website since the news broke. There's anger today over a decision to permanently shut the iconic scenic railway roller coaster at Dreamland. Bosses at the Margate venue say it follows an extensive consultation and inspection process. The ride is the oldest in the UK, but hasn't been running since a hole appeared in the tracks last August. Councillor Rob Yates represents Margate Central Ward. He's been speaking to Lucy.
I spoke to a friend yesterday and he said, it's like taking all the sand out of Margate Beach. And I agree with them. It's just like the council like made a deal in good faith to hand over the theme park. And to then find out that, yeah, we're closing the scenic railway. It's just outrageous. And I've had like engineers reach out to me just in the last day who were made redundant in September. So I don't think this was a decision even made this year. I think it was made at the end of last year. So it's really upsetting. And I kind of want to use this interview as a chance to like reach out to people like Dennis Desmond, who's the CEO of Live Nation, and say, look, please just come to Margate and see what your company, one of your companies, Dreamland, is doing, because I still think there's a chance to reverse this decision.
What does the scenic railway mean for people in Margate? Do you have any particular memories of yourself from it, or anything residents have said about, you know, growing up with this iconic ride?
Yeah, so one of my best friends, Sam, he came to Margate for a Only Fools and Horses day out, and he wanted to see Dreamland and see the roller coaster. And then the response from local historic institutes like the Shell Grotto have come out and said, look, Dreamland, I know you want to do this kind of survey of the residents to see what the future holds, but we just want you to maintain the railway. The outpouring of frustration and anger has been huge in the town. And for me, I just want this decision to be looked at again by Live Nation, because I think Dreamland are heading down the wrong course.
What sort of impact could this have on tourism to Margate as well?
It's just really damaging. If you start just saying, right, old buildings, old structures, well, yeah, it's a bit difficult to maintain them. Yeah, why don't we just, yeah, shut them, like put them behind some gates and just say, look, oh, then you don't have much left, really. And we're a huge tourist town because of our the heritage of being a high-end, like, Victorian resort.
Yeah, I mean, we were chatting in the office when the news was announced yesterday. I mean, we're based up in Medway, but so many of us have obviously been down to Margate, visited Dreamland, and a few people said, oh, I didn't get a chance to go on the scenic railway, and now I never will. It's such a shame, isn't it? And it is known all across Kent and even wider across the UK.
Yeah, and I think some of the residents are likely to reach out to, like, David Jason from Only Fools and Horses. They were famously on there and on the Jolly Boys outing episode. I think we need some help here. And there are people who absolutely love Dreamland. Like, I saw yesterday, hopefully you won't mind me mentioning, but the leader of Medway Council commenting on the story on Facebook. This is a place with huge amount of like nostalgia and memory. So, yeah, I just hope that everyone puts pressure on Live Nation, because I think there's still time to rethink this decision.
You can find all of the details and the latest updates on this story by heading to the homepage of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A London man has been sent to prison for helping to distract vulnerable Cashpoint users in Kent to steal more than £2,000. Job Coseb targeted sites in Chatham, Strood, Maidstone and Gravesend over a four-week period last summer. The 28-year-old from Galleons Drive in Barking was sentenced to 2 years and 3 months. A Faversham man who threatened a family with a knife wife over a noise complaint has been spared jail. Taylor Daly knocked on the door of the flat in Davington last October before being pursued through the estate by armed police. The 26-year-old, who has no fixed address, pleaded guilty to making a threat to kill and possessing a bladed article. He was handed a suspended sentence, 120 hours of unpaid work and rehab. A Gillingham man has had his 700-pound electric bike stolen after agreeing a sale over Facebook Marketplace. Anthony Blythe says the fake buyer also pulled out a knife after he rode off without paying last May. It's been reported to police, who have launched an appeal for information. Concerns have been raised about the medical care and mental health support in Kent after the death of a woman with an undiagnosed brain tumour. 59-year-old Sarah Heaver took her own life in May last year. A post-mortem discovered the large tumour missed by doctors. Following an inquest, the coroner has issued a report to health bosses so future deaths can be prevented. Thousands of pounds have been raised for a Folkestone dad of four who died during an industrial incident at a construction site in Sittingbourne. Police, paramedics and firefighters were called to the Eurolink estate last Wednesday. 36-year-old Joe Heath was treated for serious injuries but didn't survive. He's been remembered as a caring, bubbly and absolute gem of a person. A fundraiser has been set up to support his family and help pay for his funeral. So far, it's raised more than £5,000. You can read the full story and find details on how to donate in the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A Kent MP is calling for DART charge refunds after a lorry caused serious damage to the Dartford Tunnel. There were delays from last Friday into Saturday after an overheight vehicle struck critical systems on the route from Kent into Essex. Dartford MP Jim Dixon says drivers should be refunded after facing 36 hours of disruption and wants a full and urgent investigation into what happened. A former University of Kent professor has been announced as Reform UK's candidate in a high-profile by-election. Matthew Goodwin served as a professor of politics for almost 10 years, but he'll now stand in the upcoming vote in Gorton and Denton in Manchester. More recently, he's been a GB News host and a right-wing activist. Electricity has been restored to homes in Swanley following a power cut. Around 400 homes and several GP surgeries were impacted yesterday. Engineers say they fixed a fault on an underground cable. Now, campaign groups have welcomed a government consultation into domestic wood burning. It's after figures last year revealed Swale Borough Council was one of the worst areas in the country for complaints, with more than 1,200 in just 12 months. The government are looking to implement stricter emissions guidelines on new stoves and introducing mandatory labels. I spoke to Jemima Hartshorn from Mums for Lungs.
We're really pleased that after years of campaigning for this issue, there is going to be a consultation now, and government has clearly acknowledged that wood burning pollution is a huge contributor to ill health in this country. And the different elements the consultation is going to cover is basically only limited to the standards of the stoves that are being sold on the market these days. And that is really disappointing, because it only is going to impact the sale of new stoves. So if you are being impacted by wood burning pollution right now, the chances of this consultation helping you are very, very slim. Please get in touch with Mums for Lungs, because we need to continue campaigning. But the element that I'm significantly more excited about, and that I hope is going to really happen and really going to raise awareness at this stage, obviously these are only proposals, is that government is suggesting that wood burners should come with a health warning. They should say wood burning causes air pollution and that could harm your health. And while we know that it definitely harms your health, I hope that that will really make people think twice. Do you want to buy something and put it in the middle of your home if it says this is going to make your kids sick? I wouldn't. And I hope that many people will start to understand what this means, and that also it will raise awareness of the issue to people who are already unwittingly putting on a fire in their living room, not realising what this is doing to their own and their children and their neighbours' health.
When I was reading through the government website as well, they talked about tougher penalties for companies maybe caught flouting the rules and stuff like that. Is that, again, something that you would welcome?
Yes, I obviously welcome tougher rules, but I think the devil is in the detail. And right now we have a system of smoke control zones, which are across many of the big cities and the urban areas in the country. And Mums for Lungs, every year we do some research and we have found out that last year there were 16,000 complaints by individuals who were impacted and affected by wood burning in their vicinity, and there was not a single prosecution and only a handful of fines. So I'm very doubtful at this stage, without having looked at the detail, to be honest, if these enforcement suggestions the government is making right now will actually work and will actually make a difference. Because the current system, where there should be fines and enforcement, it's not working.
Would you like the government to go, I suppose, even I suppose as far as they can go and really ban wood burning or non-essential wood burning altogether?
The Royal College of Paediatrics, for the Royal College of Paediatrics and Children's Health, already about 1.5 years ago, they called on government to phase out wood burning in urban areas. And since then, the Royal College of Physicians has been very, very clear how toxic wood burning is for all our health. So with these strong medical professionals at the highest level calling for a phase out of wood burning, we understand and call for the same.
Kent Online News.
There's disappointment for campaigners in East Morling after the planning inspectorate approved plans for 52 new homes. There had been more than 200 objections to the development at Ivy Farm off Wateringbury Road. The inspector decided the level of harm to the local area would be minimal and the scheme would help meet housing targets. Plans are due to be submitted this year for work on a major link road in Thanet. The A28 North Thanet Link Road was first proposed in 2023 and would connect the A28 and Manston Road. It's set to cost almost £77 million, and it's believed the project could help slash time of more than 2,000 journeys per day. There are calls for Kent bosses to scrap plans to sell a former secondary school site. The Oasis Academy in Hextable in Edgerton Avenue closed in 2016 due to falling student numbers. Sevenoaks MP Laura Trott says the site will be essential in helping meet secondary school provision. She's petitioning local parents to see what they think. Parents living in a village near Paddock Wood say their children have been left stranded after a school bus route was axed. The 267 service will no longer be stopping in Five Oak Green, forcing some children to take longer journeys to school. KCC and Hams Travel said the village has been removed from the morning journey following complaints about lateness.
Kent Online News.
A Dartford mum is calling for the laws to be changed so drivers must stop if they collide with a cat. Laura Eady says she was left devastated after family pet Ziggy was killed in a hit and run earlier this month. Currently, motorists who hit dogs and certain farm animals must stop and report it under the Road Traffic Act. However, cats are not included. Laura spoke to reporter Charlotte Phillips.
A lot of cats, when they're knocked down, they're injured. And what cats tend to do is they tend to crawl off into a quiet place. Yeah. You know, what we need to do is we need to change the law to be in line with dogs, because it gives them a chance of survival. If someone has to stop, just like with dogs, that's the law currently with dogs, it means that at least they've got the opportunity to be able to get the owner to get them to the vet. And at least they know, even if they do pass away, because accidents happen. But even if the cat does pass away, at least the owner knows and they can be with them in those final moments. So that's what I'm really hoping for.
Yeah. And with the campaign and the petition that you set up, would you be able to kind of talk me through what is the current law and what you're campaigning for?
Yeah. So the petition I set up is basically to, like I say, bring the law in line for cats as it is with dogs at the moment. So if you hit a dog or a farm animal, you have to stop and you have to contact the nearest vet. With cats, you just there's no law backing it. So like I say, the common decency of, you'd hope most people, but some people just do not stop. And that's what this campaign is called, Ziggy's Legacy. Because like I say, I just hope that in her memory, we can at least bring something awful out of the pain we're all suffering, and something good out of it, so that other families haven't got to suffer. So, and that's a petition. But I do know there have been many other petitions. There have been charities, there have been amazing people who've all been saying the same thing for I mean, when I put this post out, I had thousands of people contact me who've all had these same experiences for years and years and years and years. You know, now the government are looking into changing some highway laws. I think it's just the appropriate time to make it fair for all pets. And just people need to take responsibility and do the right thing. And this is the only thing that's going to do that.
Yeah, of course. And like you said, it could be the matter of that cat living. If it gets treatment, if someone
Exactly.
stops and pulls over, it really is between life and death. And
Yeah.
do you know when the dog law came into force?
I'm not entirely sure about that
I'll have a
one.
look into it. Just yeah, no, it's strange that one is included and the other isn't when they're kind of the most common two animals. It's
Exactly.
strange.
And yeah, and I mean, I think they're saying that the government's saying they want to look at other things like people not speeding. I mean, the road I live on is so quiet. It's a little road, but people do need to be looking at their speeding. But I do think that, especially in the night time, it's deterrent, isn't it? If you think, oh, I might hit a cat, you know, or you know, that might be another way of encouraging people to slow down, particularly at night time, on smaller roads. And yeah, it's just it improves the safety, but there doesn't seem to be a reason. I can't understand a reason why you'd have like you said, two beloved pets, two different animals, and people need there needs to be that law change. So I'm just really hopeful the government, because they responded to a petition in December, I believe,
Yes, I saw that in
and
yours.
and they said that they weren't at the moment going to change the law, but I just hope that they listen, you know, and they do change their opinions on it. Because now, like I say, now is the right time, and there can't be another life lost like this, and another family having to go through the trauma of seeing their family member left in the road like that. I just hope that the law is changed.
A special service takes place at St Paul's Cathedral later to legally confirm Dame Sarah Mullally as the Archbishop of Canterbury. She's the 106th person to hold the position, taking over from Justin Welby, who resigned last year and is the first woman to have the job. An installation ceremony will happen at Canterbury Cathedral in March. A riverside pub in Ashford has closed after 160 years of trading. The Star Inn along East Hill can be traced back to the 1860s when it operated as the Star. The landlord has decided to call it a day after a tough few years. Now, the MP for Gravesham says she'll take the fight to have the Gravesend to Tilbury ferry service reinstated well into 2026. Dr. Lauren Sullivan has been petitioning for the service since it ended when funding was pulled in spring of 2024. It used to do as many as 100,000 journeys a year. I spoke to Dr. Sullivan, who says local businesses have been struggling without it.
The impact of the ferry service on our town centre. So some local businesses have told me that it's equivalent of a part-time or a full-time member of staff. So because of that, kind of, they're not seeing the footfall, they're not seeing the demand for their services, whether that be coffee or whether that be shopping, it's all contributing. And there was a study done by the Thames Estuary Growth Board, now sadly dissolved, who were kind of pulling together and making the case for actually this is having an impact. And so when we can take these kind of impact statements or to government and go, look, this is having a real impact, we only need a couple of hundred thousand pounds or whatever it is to really unlock that again. You can see the investment and then the gains from that. So it's really, a lot of things is about keeping the banging the drum of going this, keeping this on the agenda, which I'm doing a lot. I think I'm known for, and I think the ministers avoid me now. We're thinking, oh no, she's going to talk about that ferry again. It's like, yes, I am going to talk about that ferry again because it makes such a difference, as well as providing that business case. And so working with Port of London Authority, some of the other businesses along the river that aren't in my constituency, it's about them, right? How are we all coming together to make the case? Here's some solid numbers. And then it's about then going to the other ministers going, oh, have you heard about my ferry? Can we talk about actually, at least obviously it's not my ferry, but it's the whole, this is a solid and valid piece of expenditure that will really help the people of Gravesham and Thurrock. And my sister across the river, as I affectionately like to call her, Jen Craft, is doing exactly the same thing on her side. So we are literally a double act going, hello, this is really important for us.
She suggested using toll cash from the Lower Thames Crossing to pay for the long-term future of the ferry.
Kent Online News.
Head to Kent Online to see pictures of a luxury Kent wedding venue that's just gone on the market. The Hayne Barn Estate in Saltwood near Hythe features a manor house, cottages and eco lodges in 22 acres of garden. It's got a price guide of up to £5 million. A Canterbury dad of two has been crowned the UK Wedding Photographer of the Year for 2026. Ollie Knight was announced as the winner at the Wedding Industry Awards, beating thousands of people from across the country. You could see examples of his work by heading to Kent Online. An art exhibition featuring the work of people with learning disabilities is starting in Whitstable today. It's called This Is Us and celebrates the stories, talent and joy of the adults who meet at the Swalecliff Community Day Service. It's on at the Fish Slab Gallery until February 2nd. And an 80-year-old Kent man who climbed Mount Everest Base Camp for charity has been celebrated at a local awards ceremony. Samuel Bunting from Ashford made the climb to raise money for Age UK. He's been recognised at the Freedom Ashford Hero Awards, which honour people making a difference to the local community. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.